Could the New Orleans Saints' love affair with Ohio State football players continue in the upcoming NFL draft? We have the answer for you. You'll hear it next right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Friday, March 31st in the year 2023, and this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. During this episode, we welcome to the show Ross Jackson. Ross is the host of Locked On Saints, leading into every NFL draft. I love to have members of the Locked On NFL family to come on Locked On Buckeyes to help us be more prepared for where Ohio State players might get drafted in that year's upcoming draft. In comes Ross Jackson. The New Orleans Saints have multiple guys starting on offense, multiple guys starting on defense, and there are a couple guys that might be good, ideal fits for them in the National Football League. Ross is here. Ross is great at what he does, and you'll love what he has to say about if Jackson Smith and Jigba will be drafted by the Saints and why the Saints love Zach Harrison. And joining us now is a man that I have every year prior to the NFL draft, because it seems like the New Orleans Saints always go after Ohio State Buckeyes. It's a love affair that they have with the school, and I love it because it gives me an excuse to talk to Ross Jackson, the host of Locked On Saints. He is a voice you hear, not just during draft season, but as we do our Buckeye road trip around the NFL. We got to go down to the Bayou and get Ross on there to talk about the Saints pros that they have there and how they play in the upcoming NFL season. Upcoming NFL season, they might have a couple Buckeyes on their team, and Ross is here to talk about them. Ross Jackson, that's a lot to talk about and a lot to say before getting to you, man. How you doing?
Hey, brother. Oh, man. Look, if it wasn't for the love affair between the New Orleans Saints and the Ohio State Buckeyes, these intros when we jump in would be like 30 seconds. Hey, he's Ross from Locked On Saints. But we have there's so many connections here, man. There's so many connections here. So pleasure to be here with you, homie. It's always a fun time.
It's always fun. I was recently looking at a depth chart via ESPN.com for the New Orleans Saints. There's two starters on offense, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave. Those are Buckeyes. Two Buckeye starters on defense, Pete Werner, Marshawn Lattimore. Michael Thomas just signed a one-year contract. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. But There's another receiver at Ohio State that the Saints might be able to get if he falls to them in the latter part of the first round. That's Jackson Smith and Jigba. They already got two Buckeye receivers. Ross, it'd be great if they added a third.
It would be. It would be a ton of fun. I want to really quickly remind you that the Saints also have a third starter on defense from Ohio State. You're not going to find him on the depth chart because, you know, today's depth charts don't list teams, team structures, the way that teams actually deploy their teams. But Bradley Roby is still the starter in the slot for right now. I know he just falls under like the cornerback thing, but he's technically a starter for the Saints too. So they got three starters on defense. Why not have three starters on offense, Jay? You might as well go ahead out here and get it done, because the Saints do spend a lot of time on 11 personnel. And so getting Jackson Smith and Jigba, Chris Olave and Michael Thomas out on the field all together, if the Saints were to land Jackson Smith and Jigba, which would, let's be clear, require a trade up very likely for the New Orleans Saints in order to be able to get that done. Why not get it done and have all that chemistry between Jackson Smith and Jigba and Chris Olave there, Michael Thomas coming up in the same system, and just profit. Have a ton of fun. You got a new quarterback. Give him all the toys you can. Give Derek Carr all the toys you can over on the Saints offense.
Toys are great. Derek Carr's a great situation already, having a Michael Thomas receiver and Chris Olave. But being able to add in Jigba, who is a guy that, as we talked before we started recording, he can play the slot. He does it phenomenally. He can also play outside, not probably where most people think he'll be. I've been saying for a long time, Ross, I think Jigba's better suited in the slot versus outside. However, him in the slot in 2021 at Ohio State, 96 catches, over 1,600 receiving yards, 10 touchdowns, I think over 10 touchdowns. It was insane to watch, fun to watch. And that's why I think this time of year, where he's reminding everybody, hey, y'all, I missed basically the entire season. Mm-hmm. I am still that dude. I am him as he's running these routes and doing these workouts at the combine and the pro day. As he's reminding everybody who he is as a player, the Saints are like, you're going to fit with us no matter what. Maybe we should move up to get you in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think that the sort of classification of Jaxon Smith-Njigba as a slot receiver is something that could cause a little bit of a tumble for him. We also have to consider, and I don't mean a big tumble, but I do mean getting into the 20s as opposed to going off the board before the 20s. We have to consider, what are the runs that happen before that? Does the tackle run start before that? Is there, where do all the quarterbacks land? Where does the wide receiver run land? Where's the first cornerback run? All these issues, there's supposed to be two different cornerback runs in this year's draft. And so when you look at kind of who might come off the board before him, it does keep the Saints at least in playing position. But I do think that even though he would be able to come to New Orleans in 2023 and play a slot role, I think the Saints could still utilize him as an X receiver on the outside if they needed to. It's the classic Justin Jefferson situation.
Yes.
To where, like, Jaxon Smith-Njigba was supposed to get an opportunity in 2022 to show everybody what he could do on the outside as the guy opposite Marvin Harrison Jr., who I hope we're back here talking about next year, by the way. It was supposed to be the opportunity to do that. He didn't get that chance because of the injuries, the things that sort of kept him out of 2022. So I look at him as somebody that not only could potentially come in 2023 and be a complement to Michael Thomas and then the existing relationship and chemistry he already has with Chris Olave, but could potentially be the future as the Saints' top option or one of the Saints' top options if they move on from Michael Thomas after this new one-year deal.
It's one of the wildest things, because I think about a guy in Njigba who, it's not like he missed the season 2022 due to the COVID, or he took a COVID absence and was like, hey, I'm not trying to be around all y'all dudes in the locker room when this thing is in the air. I'm going to sit this one out. It wasn't like that.
Right.
He had a legitimate injury. Yeah. And an injury that can derail you and set you back, even if it's, hey, I came back on the field in October, I'm out. Coming back in January, doing what he did, it shows he looks healthy.
Yeah.
Extremely healthy. What do you think a healthy Jaxon Smith-Njigba would add to the Saints offense?
I mean, I'll say, another top option. The thing that's so interesting about the way that the Saints offense work is that we hear the misnomer of understanding of how NFL works, where there's a wide receiver one, a wide receiver two, and a wide receiver three. The Saints have never operated that way. They have an X receiver, a Z receiver, an F guy, a Y guy. Like, they have all of these guys that they can use, and from a bunch of different ways that are just position designations in terms of who lines up on the weak side versus the strong side and who runs what route tree. But that doesn't mean that one is a top option, the other is a secondary option, and the other is the third option. That's not how the Saints offense has ever worked. That's how guys like Nick Vanette got receptions in New Orleans, because it was never about who's the top option throughout the entire season, with the exception of 2019 season where Michael Thomas was the only player available to throw to, right? And that's why he broke a record that year.
Yeah.
And so outside of that, like, the way that the Saints offense has always worked is that it's based on what's going to create or who's going to be able to take advantage of the biggest mismatches that they can create. So now you have Michael Thomas over on the weak side all by his lonesome. And on the opposite side of the field, you've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba in the slot and then Chris Olave lined up off the line of scrimmage where defenders can't get their hands on him, right? They can't play press on him because he's off the line. What are you doing if you're a defense, right? And then you've got Juwan Johnson, who's becoming, growing into being a big-time pass catcher. Once Alvin Kamara is available to the team, he's a big-time pass catcher for you out the backfield. Taysom Hill's probably running around somewhere. And so where do you key in if you're an opposing team? And it gives the Saints somebody else in Jaxon Smith-Njigba who can win those contested battles, who can be physical at the point of the catch point. And that's something that the Saints don't necessarily have on the roster right now. It's something that they're very much trying to address. So I think it's mismatch. It's the mismatch creation that he helps you create in the slot, and then also his ability to go up there and be physical and make the contested catches, which is something that the Saints have been focusing on trying to address this offseason, but I don't think they've done it successfully yet.
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. You know, Ross, with a new quarterback, you're going to try to build chemistry, and it would be great for Derek Carr if he was able to get Njigba to come on to the offensive side of the ball, because he is going to be a teammate once again with the guy who he already has chemistry with in Chris Olave. And one of the best things I like about these two receivers, you can even group Garrett Wilson in that trio as well, because they've all played together at Ohio State.
Yep.
They're extremely unselfish.
Yep.
They block for each. You love receivers blocking downfield. I see you on Twitter. Anytime a receiver's down, a block of downfield, you get excited.
I mean,
it happens a lot, and I've seen or blocking for each other. You see Njigba running for a big making a big play. Olave's blocking.
Yep.
Or vice versa. Olave has a catch. Njigba's blocking. And that chemistry that they already have together, not just like the on-field stuff, but even the off-the-field stuff, and them being extremely unselfish, Derek Carr's going to be like, look, y'all might want to move up to get this cat. And understand there's an injury that recently happened. It might be tweaked. Might have to work on some things, make sure he's healed properly. But I want, as a quarterback, I would want someone that's new, fresh, but also knows how to work with the guys that he's going to be on the field with. And so it could be a blessing for Derek Carr if the Saints move up and move up in the right way, in the right spot, to snag Njigba, take him off of the draft, because if they do that, dog, training camp's going to be crazy because you're going to be seeing all of these dudes, these two receivers specifically, Olave and Njigba, clowning on the field because they're just doing what they did in college. Yep. Do that in the NFL, have success that way, that kind of fun, and making a lot more money than they did in college at the same time. Man, it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that the Saints have focused on so much this offseason with their acquisitions has been culture. And he comes from a culture that the New Orleans Saints absolutely love. And he has that culture and connection with somebody that's already on the team, several people that are on the team. Because no matter what, even if he didn't take the field with Marshawn Lattimore, didn't take the field with, you know, Michael Thomas, or take the field with Bradley Roby, like, those guys still come from the same program. Yes. They're still bred the same way. And you see that because the Saints have been interested in these Ohio State players for that long. So there's a real understanding of what drafting an Ohio State player is here in New Orleans. And a big part of it is community. A big part of it is culture. But a big part of it is also, of course, pro ready, right? And all these guys are absolutely that. If Jameson Williams can tear an ACL in the national championship game and get drafted in the top 20 the following year, or whenever it was that he was drafted, Jackson Smith and Njigba can miss the 2022 season and be a top 20 selection. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
The leadership quality and attribute that's needed for Michael Thomas is going to be something that's going to be put on Front Street, not just because in the receiver room, but for the entire offense. They're going to be looking to see, how do you handle it? I'm saying if, because I would love for this to happen. One for you, Ross, because I know you're going to have fun talking about it, but also because I want to see guys have fun to the NFL. I want to see Olave succeed, and I know he's going to have his boy Njigba out there, and they're going to be able to succeed together. But the leadership qualities that Michael Thomas is going to need to portray and display consistently, those are going to be things that you'll be talking about, I'm sure, on Locked On Saints, and I'm sure maybe Locked On NFL, they'll be talking about it there, and all the shows out there, all the articles that will be written, a lot of them will be focused on Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's up to the task of being a leader the Saints need if Njigba was added to the wide receiver room?
Absolutely. I mean, I know that there's a whole lot of people that have had their negative things to say about Michael Thomas, but I got to cover this dude in the locker room all season last year. I got to talk to him. I got to see the way that he worked with players. I got to talk to other players about him. I mean, Michael Thomas recruited Derek Carr to New Orleans when Michael Thomas technically was probably going to be out of New Orleans, but he recruited Derek Carr to New Orleans and said, come here and I'll stay. And basically said, I'm staying. Like, I'm not going anywhere. You come here now. Like, you're wasting my time. Where are you? We're trying to get to work. Like, that's the way that he approached it, which was super dope. Chris Olave gets drafted. Michael Thomas is one of the first people to reach out to him. They're immediately out in California working out during the offseason while he was rehabbing, helping, you know, Chris Olave adjust to the game. The entire season when Michael Thomas was out, he was in Chris Olave's ear the entire year. Same thing with Rashid Shaheed. Like, he was in these young guys' ear, having conversations with them, answering their questions, supporting them. Jarvis Landry was doing the same thing. People forget that the injury that derailed Michael Thomas's, or could potentially derail Michael Thomas's career, right? He hasn't finished that story yet. Happened in a fourth quarter in a game where the Saints had already put it away. They were in the red zone about to score another touchdown, and Michael Thomas got rolled up on while he was blocking. Not running a route, not doing something crazy, not trying to, you know, extend a play when he didn't need to. He was blocking. Like, that's the effort that you see from Michael Thomas, and that's still the effort that he puts when he's out on the field. The issue is, can he stay out on the field? But it's not Michael Thomas's doing. If it was up to him, he would never leave the field.
Absolutely. I agree with that one 100%. Ross, when I sent you the text asking about guys that the Saints might go after, might be good fits for them in the NFL draft, guys, and Njigba was not the first name that he said. It was Zach Harrison. And I am not the one that's the biggest Zach Harrison guy. I'm going to say it out there right now. I don't like how people say, oh, you're not Bosa, either one of them. You're not Chase Young. You're not living up to the hype of being a five-star guy. Like, I don't go into that side because I think there's some people say that and they don't really understand what goes into that statement, like, oh, you're not a Bosa. Most people aren't Joey or Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
You're not Chase Young. There's only one Chase Young. So there's some things with that kind of annoy me a little bit. However, when it comes to Zach Harrison, I saw growth from him this past season. Growth that I thought I would have seen the previous season, but I was glad that we got it this season. I believe that Zach Harrison might be a project, a 2 or 3 or 4 year project in the National Football League. But that doesn't mean he will not be a guy who gets multiple contracts in the National Football League. A guy that plays for a long time, might play for multiple teams, but he's still going to be a staple. He's going to be a great piece of the pie wherever he is. Why was he the first guy you put on that text as being a good fit for the New Orleans Saints?
6'5", 274 pounds, the combine. That's a big start. That's a big part of it. Like, this is what the New Orleans Saints love. Like, they love guys on the edge that can come in and be traitsy, right? Long, they can be, you know, that they have that NFL size, that they have that sort of position versatility, but they have sort of that gap penetration aspect of them that can, you know, have the athletic profile, that have the stature. Like, this is the prototype, right? Zach Harrison checks the boxes of the prototype. And, oh, yeah, also he's an Ohio State Buckeye. But here's the thing that I think is so important about Zach Harrison is that he's a bit of a college underachiever. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as an edge rusher, 11 sacks, 24 tackles for a loss. It's not that he was ineffective, but he wasn't necessarily the guy that a lot of people had expectations that he would be. So that actually, in my opinion, helps the Saints. Because if they like the prototype, and this is something they fall in love with all the time, they fall in love with these guys that go to small schools, right? I know that that's not this case, but they fall in love with these guys that go to small schools that underachieve or that have one good year of production, but have all of the traits and look like their favorite edge rusher, right? Marcus Davenport, Peyton Turner. And then they waste first round picks drafting these guys and then show an inability to be able to develop them. Right. And so then they leave New Orleans as a disappointment, which is what happened with Marcus Davenport. Peyton Turner, still currently considered a disappointment by many Saints fans because of the way that he hasn't turned the corner yet. Now, he still has time. His story is still being written here in New Orleans. But a guy like Zach Harrison is a similar risk, but from top level play, a top level program, top level development, and you don't have to burn one or multiple first round picks in order to get your shot with him. He's a third round, end of day three, top of day four type guy if he falls a little bit. And he's the type of guy that you can fall in love with as an NFL organization and say, okay, you can roll the dice here at a place where we couldn't have rolled the dice on like an Andre Carter in the first round. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, the kid out of Georgia Tech. No, thank you. Like Keon White. No, thank you. Trade C, I get it, but small level of competition. Anything beyond those traits, not really, right? Let me roll that dice in round three with a guy coming from a top level program in a top level culture.
This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all of the fat and calories? Then you gotta try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, where you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You gotta try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they are all covered in 100% real chocolate, and they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've talked about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. I love it. I love it, Ross. I'm looking here now at the draft pick in the order for the Saints. Saints have the 71st pick of the draft. In the third round, they have one third round pick, 1 4th round pick, 2 5th round picks. Mm-hmm. There's a room there and a spot there for Zach Harrison. And honestly, I think just like in Jigba, because this just popped into my head, just like in Jigba and the connection to him and Olave, Harrison, if he goes down to the Bayou, he's there with Pete Werner.
Yep.
Played football together. A guy who you're on the same field with, battling with over and over and over. That's going to mean something. And I will go over it once again. I don't believe in Jigba's transition to the NFL is going to be as hard as Zach Harrison's. It's going to be hard. Don't get me wrong. The NFL is a different game, a different speed. Everybody is a pro. Everybody has access to pro team trainers, all of those things. But I do believe there's something to be said about having Pete Werner back there at linebacker. Even if Zach Harrison does not come in and start, it's like, hey, man, Werner can help him out. Help him learn the defense. Help him learn the ropes. Help him learn what to do, what not to do. That all means something. Harrison's athleticism, his traits, 6'5", 274, I think you said.
Yep.
Insane. Those are great things, but it's also great to have a guy there at the next level that you played with in college.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It helps you fit into the system. And Pete Werner is such a smart player, like such an incredibly smart person to talk to, that he can explain to Zach Harrison exactly how to transition
yes.
from Ohio State's defense to the New Orleans Saints defense and break everything down in terms of instead of this vocabulary, they use this vocabulary. The way we used to do this, they do it this way. This is yes. the exact same. This is a little bit different and is able to help translate all of that. And I think that becomes remarkably important. And I think the other piece too here is that like Zach Harrison becomes an even safer bet for the Saints in the third, fourth, fifth round, wherever, because they don't need him to come in and be the immediate starter opposite Cam Jordan. They've got a guy that they love in Carl Granderson. They could potentially even go earlier for a safer edge rusher and then double up at the position because defensive line is going to be a focus for them in this draft. And so you have an opportunity here to grab a guy that's going to be able to rotate and come in key positions so that if there's any concern over the inconsistency that he showed in college, you're mitigating some of it by being selective in terms of how you're utilizing him. So if you have anything that's inconsistent in terms of his play speed or his recognition or he's showing tightness in some area of the game, mental tightness in terms of some area of the game, you can alleviate that tension by saying, all right, well, it's third and 10. It's an obvious passing down. Let's bounce Cam Jordan inside. We'll put Zach Harrison on the outside. We're running the NASCAR package. Zach, just go out there, pin your ears back, man. Do what you're comfortable with. and they can utilize him in a way that's specialized until he does make that leap or does turn that corner. And they have the space to do that because they're not burning this year and next year's first round pick on him like they did in 2018 with Marcus Davenport, right? They're getting him at a spot in the draft where you expect to have to deal with some development.
Ross, last thing for you here quickly. I see here now there is a second round pick that the Saints have. Mm-hmm. Many people, this is not in your text, I'm just spitballing here.
Yep.
Many people are saying DeJuan Jones, first round pick. I'm not buying into that just yet. I don't know if I'll ever buy into that. It was a decision he made at the pro day that I think will be why he will not be a first round pick. Second round pick might be where he's going to go. Third round pick at the latest. Mm-hmm. But with that second pick in these, so with second round pick that the Saints have, do you think DeJuan Jones is a possibility for them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that he's, I wouldn't put him at the top of my list when it comes to second round, but he's a remarkably talented player.
Yes.
He's the prototype, all those other things. And he, because the Saints have dealt with back-to-back, you know, they bookended Trevor Penning's season, who they drafted last year at mm-hmm. Northern Iowa, who mm-hmm. was supposed to become the left tackle after Teron Armstead left. They bookended his season, or he bookended his season, with two different foot injuries. He had a turf toe injury that kept him out for the first, you know, 10-plus games. And then at the end of the season, last game of the year, he had a Lisfranc injury. And so you have your concerns now about can the man's feet hold up? And then over on the opposite side, Ryan Ramczyk, who came from Wisconsin, has been outstanding, but he's also been dealing with injuries. He was limited every single Wednesday all throughout the season in terms of practice and then missed a few games as well. So continuing to build depth on the offensive line is something that absolutely makes sense for them. And so a guy like DeJuan Jones could be a good option. You want somebody that's just going to be mean and ruthless out on the field? DeJuan Jones is absolutely that guy from what I saw at the Senior Bowl and from what I've seen on the state. And so I think that he could absolutely be a fit there. I think that there are probably more pressing needs or more pressing positions that they might look to address with their first and second round picks. But if, you know, if the board falls the right way and the second or third round and he's there and they feel pretty comfortable, I could absolutely see them continuing to invest in the trenches, whether it's on the offensive line or the defensive line. That's where the Saints really love to focus in the draft.
My guy, Ross Jackson. Ross, it's always fun catching up with you. I actually look forward to doing this, hopefully after the draft, mm-hmm. like the post-draft shows we do around here, at least I do them, trying to get guys like Ross and other guys that are part of the Locked On NFL family to come over here. Look forward to that. Hopefully, enjoy what happens. He'll have to fall into your lap at 29, but I'm hoping it happens. But also, Ross, look forward to our summer check-ins as we do our Buckeye road trip around the NFL. We got six. Five starters.
Yeah.
Five former Ohio State players that are starting now for the New Orleans Saints. Insane. Could be six or seven by the time the season rolls around in the fall. Ross, where can the people find you on Twitter and check in or catch any of the good stuff you're doing covering the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Always a pleasure to be here with you. Thanks so much, as always. I look forward to reconnecting whichever way, you know, whether it's a new draft pick or former draft picks. If you want to keep up with everything going on with the New Orleans Saints, to check in with those New Orleans Saints from the Ohio State University, make sure you come through with Locked On Saints podcast, free and available wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Just search Locked On Saints. And then, of course, you'd always follow on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA, NOLA.
Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. This is not the final show we're going to have a member of the Locked On NFL family on with us. I'm trying to reach out to the host of Locked On Panthers, one of the hosts of Locked On Colts, and got Locked On Texans and other guys I'm trying to get on the show. You want to know where Stroud's going to go, what teams think about C.J. Stroud? We're trying to get all that stuff wrapped up here right now to make it a one-stop shop for all of your Buckeye draft needs, Buckeye spring ball needs, all of it. Stay here for Locked On Buckeyes. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your fine podcasts. The podcast is free. Locked On Saints is free. Locked On Buckeyes is free. Everything at Locked On Podcasts, all the podcasts, they're free for you to consume every day of the week. I'm out of here. I talked a lot today. Had to get it in since it wasn't a solo show. Guys, out of here. Enjoy the weekend.